We are going to go through a very familiar passage that is from the book of John, Gospel of John, in chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. I'm not going to take time to read Gospel of John, chapter 6, and verses 1 to 15. And we know this passage. This is the miracle of feeding the 5,000, okay? We all know this familiar passage, so I'm not going to take time to read through it, but I'm going to go through certain nuggets that we can pick up from this passage. You know, there is the Gospels are basically the life and the ministry of Jesus, and it encompasses only around 54 to 55 days of Jesus' public ministry or life on earth. Only 54 to 55 days of life on earth is recorded in the four Gospels. He had 3.5 years of public ministry, right? And 33.5 years of living on this earth. So 3.5 years, that translates to more than 1,200 days, right? And only 54, 55 days are recorded in the Gospels. And we haven't finished meditating upon it yet. We haven't finished studying upon it yet. Each day you meditate this Gospel or any passage of the Scripture, for that matter, in the Bible, we are learning something new. God is incredible. God is so beautiful. Jesus is beyond description. Only 54 days of ministry and life recorded in the Gospel, and we haven't finished studying that yet. Such an awesome Jesus that we get to serve. One of the things we need to understand is that Jesus came to this world for one primary mission, and that is to save his people from their sins. That is what Matthew's Gospel chapter 1 verse 21, the angel is speaking to Joseph saying, you have to name him Jesus because he came to save his people from their sins. Now that is a way of telling us that he have come to us so that we will repent. We will repent. Repentance is nothing but it is an acknowledgement of our personal condition and an acceptance of who Jesus is. An acknowledgement of our personal condition and an acceptance of who Jesus is. So we are pathetically mistaken. We are pathetically fallen down. We are pathetically in sin. We cannot help ourselves. We need somebody else to help us. And that is the condition that we find ourselves in if we are unrepented. An unrepented person is pathetically helpless. In the psalmist words, Psalm 42, verse 5 and 6, the sons of Korah were saying, my soul is cast down. My soul is cast down. Malayalathil vishadichu ullil nirangunu, cast down. That is a shepherd's terminology. Shepherd's terminology. This sheep, after having their belly full, they will go probably slide down at some hole of the ground and they will try to sleep. Okay, getting some rest, okay? And now when they are trying to get some rest because the belly is full, just like, you know, some of us after the Sunday worship get some good food and then take an afternoon nap, the sheep is also doing them the kind of the similar pattern. And this sheep, it's a quite heavy-built sheep, okay, have a tummy like me. And then after the tummy is full and then you get to slide down and sleep, the center of gravity shifts. The center of gravity, you know how the center of gravity shifts. And what happens? This sheep will try to adjust itself. And when the sheep is trying to adjust itself, it will again roll further. And when it rolls further, what happens is all the four legs go up in the air. And the sheep doesn't know how to get back on its four. Now the sheep begin to move its legs frantically. That condition is called cast down. Korobutrama paranjirikunnu, vishadicha ullil nirangunnu. English, why are we cast down? Cast down is a shepherd's terminology. And it is this condition where all fours are up and the sheep is helpless. The sheep doesn't know how to get back on its four and it begin to, you know, seek the shepherd's help. When you are cast down, the sons of Korah are telling something that we need to do. Two things. One is, when I am cast down, I will yet praise him. That is what the sons of Korah says. Psalms 42 verse 5 and 6. I will yet praise him. Not only that, I will begin to remember you in the lands of Jordan, in the hill of Hermon, as well as hill of Misar. I will begin to remember you. Remember you of how you put me back on my four in the past. I will remember. I will begin to praise you. I will begin to call upon your name because I know that only you can help, because another sheep cannot help me. I'm going to call upon this shepherd who is able to put me back on my four feet. So if you're cast down this day, if you're helpless, you have one help for sure, and that is the shepherd of your souls. He is able to put you back on your four feet. വിഷാദിച്ച് ഉള്ളിൽ ഞരങ്ങുന്നുണ്ടോ? നിന്നെ നാല് കാലിൽ എഴുന്നേൽപ്പിച്ച് നിർത്തുവാൻ കഴിയുള്ള കഴിയുന്ന ഒരു ഇടയൻ നമുക്കുണ്ട്. ഹല്ലേലൂയ. Repentance, you are accepting your helpless condition. And then you are acknowledging what God is able to do. Now Jesus says something in Matthew's Gospel chapter 11 concerning repentance. Matthew 11 verse 20 and 21. Matthew 11, 20 and 21. Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. See, here there are certain things that we need to learn. Jesus is rebuking us. We need to ask ourselves, are we in a condition that Jesus need to rebuke us? Are we in a condition that Jesus need to rebuke us? Why? Why did he have to rebuke them? Because if the mighty works, feeding of the 5,000, healing the blind man, healing the leper, if a mighty work has been done in you, that was with an ultimate intent. And what is that intent? There will be some repentance. There will be some transformation. There will be some change in your life. Jesus did the mighty works or the miracles for four main purposes. One, it is a sign. Secondly, it is out of compassion for the people who were going through that particular kind of trouble. Thirdly, it is to bring people to repentance. Fourthly, it is with the ultimate intent that they will be prepared for eternity's purposes, eternity's sake. So, four reasons why Jesus did the miracles or the mighty works, and one among them is repentance, to bring their life to their knees so that he can do a transformative work in their lives. Now here Jesus is saying, I am rebuking you, cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida, because if the mighty works that have been done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have been in sackcloth and in ashes. What does it mean? Sitting in ashes means you're basically confessing that you are nothing but dust. You are nothing but dust. One of the earliest declaration that God made concerning Adam is what? You are dust, and to dust you will return. Nee podiyagunu, nee podiyileke, nee nalla sundara kuttananallo ennalla Adamine kurichu aadyam parna prastavanagalil onnu, aadyam parna prastavanagalil onnu endanu? Nee podiyagunu. Nammal marannu pogarudu. Nammal aarana? Who are we? We are nothing but dust. In spite of this jacket, in spite of anything that you wear, you are nothing but dust. See, that is the posture of repentance. You understand that you are nothing but dust. Once this breath goes out, that is the end of it. That's the end of it. So, nothing but dust. A repentant heart, a repentful heart, acknowledges that you are nothing but dust. Secondly, you are putting on sackcloth. Sackcloth is goat's hair. Goat's hair or camel's hair is not very comfortable to wear. They say that it begins to itch. ചൊറിയാൻ തുടങ്ങും. ഇറ്റ് ബിഗിൻ ടു വിച്ച്. സോ വെൻ യു പുൾ ഓൺ ദ സാക്ക് ക്ലോത്ത്, ബോഡി ഈസ് ഇച്ചിങ്. ആൻഡ് വാട്ട് ഡസ് ഇറ്റ് ഷോ? ഇറ്റ് മീൻസ് യുവർ ഫ്ലഷ് ഇസ് ദ ട്രബിൾ മേക്കർ. യുവർ ഫ്ലഷ് ഇസ് ദ ട്രബിൾ മേക്കർ. ദി ഓൾഡ് മാൻ ഇസ് ദ ട്രബിൾ മേക്കർ. നമ്മളിങ്ങനെ ആരാ കുറ്റം ചെയ്തതെന്ന് കണ്ടുപിടിക്കാൻ നടക്കുക. വെൻ ഗാഡ് കെയിം ടു ആഡം ആൻഡ് ഈവ്, ആഡം ഇസ് സെയിങ് ദ വൈഫ്, ദിസ് വുമൻ ഹും യു ഗേവ് ടു മീ വാസ് ദ റീസൺ ഫോർ മൈ ട്രബിൾ. കുറ്റം കൊടുക്കുക. And when God came to Eve, Eve passed it on to the serpent. I wonder what would have happened if Adam said, I made the mistake. Njanaanu trouble. Njanaanu troublemaker. I am the mistake maker. Had that happened, I believe the story would have been different. Story would have been different. So the story of Peter says, the story made a difference in the life of Peter, right? When Peter said, Lord, you know how I love you. You know it. Nee arinu ennulla confession vannappol avante jeevitham mathramalla maariyathu, sabayude jeevitham mathramalla maariyathu, charithram thanne maaruvan vendi idiyayi theernu. Adam angane aadime onnu paranjirunnengil charithram endayi theernane ennulladu namakkarkum ariyathilla. So repentance, telling that I am the mistake maker. This flesh is the old man is the problem, that is sitting in sackcloth. Then Jesus also said one thing, repented long ago. So if you are living without repentance, you're wasting your time, precious time that God have given to you. youthful zest and energy that God have placed in you, the vitality and the strength that God have given as a young person. Young people, don't waste it. Follow after Jesus. Use your youthful years for an eternal perspective, for something that is eternally valuable, and that is seeking God's will and living according to it. So, Jesus is doing a miracle with the ultimate intent of four basic reasons, and one of them is repentance. And repentance involves, what does it say? This is who I am. My flesh is the troublemaker. I am the reason for my trouble. I'm not going to blame anybody else. And not only really that, I am nothing but dust. This is who I am. Acknowledgement of my condition and the acceptance of who Jesus is. Jesus will forgive any sin that you have committed. You come to Jesus, you confess your inability, God is able to wash you thoroughly and clean you, make your life as white as snow. If you would confess your sins, He is faithful enough to wash you white as snow. He is faithful. So that is what God is able to accomplish. Now here in this particular passage that we can see, I'm not going to read through it. As I said, in John's Gospel, this feeding of the 5,000, there are four basic principles that we can learn concerning God's kingdom. Four basic principles, and we are going to quickly go through it, and then we will conclude. First principle is that the deserted place visited by the perfect one will result in a divine impact. The deserted place visited by the perfect one will result in a divine impact. That is the first principle that we can learn. We know that Jesus and his disciples are in a deserted place. One of the reasons why Jesus went across the sea, they took a boat and they went across the sea of Galilee, was with the intent of, they say that it was with the intent of Jesus getting some rest and the disciples also getting some rest. Alpam visramikkuvan vendittana kadalin apparathekku poyathu, but the people went on the ground and followed them across all the way to the other side of the sea. That is what we read in the gospel. So Jesus went there to take some rest, and disciples are also encouraged by Jesus to go there, get some rest. And possibly because during that time John the Baptist was beheaded, Jesus wanted to move away from that situation. That is three reasons why Jesus moved to the wilderness. Now this is a wilderness place. In the wilderness place, Jesus is now there, and people came there. Even though Jesus crossed across the sea, the people came on foot and they are all congregated there, and Jesus is now teaching them the principles of God's kingdom. And they were there for 3 days. Now this is a wilderness place. You know that in wilderness there is no much food or water, any source of nourishment that you can get. So, but the spirit man is getting nourished by what Jesus had to speak to them. This place has a history. This place has a history. As much as this is a wilderness place, this is also by the Sea of Galilee. This is by the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee is the sea, in the Old Testament it is said as the Sea of Kinnereth. That is the name given to the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Kinnereth belongs to the King Sihon and to the Amorites. It belongs to the Amorites. That's what we read in Joshua chapter 12 verses 1 to 3. Joshua 12, 1 to 3. I'm just saying this because if we take time to read the scriptures, we may not be able to conclude on time. So, even in America, we get only 30 minutes to speak the message. So this is no difference. I'm thankful to the pastor for giving me that time here. Thank you, pastor. So, Joshua chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, there is the Sea of Kinnereth that belongs to King Sihon of the Amorites. So this place belonged to the Amorites. But then in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verses 26 to 35, Deuteronomy 2, 26 to 35, the people of Israel are now sojourning through the wilderness, and they are coming to the boundary of the Amorites, and they ask permission. Can we go through the border of your land? We will not enter into any of your fields. We will not steal anything from you. We just need the passage of the way. And also, we will buy food from you for money, in exchange of money. But then what happened is that the Amorites did not permit them. They did three things. One, they denied the passage of way, the right of way, or the passage through that land. Secondly, they denied food and water. And thirdly, they were denying their life. They came and attacked them. Instead of giving them food and water, they came and attacked them. They were trying to deny their life, trying to take away their life, seizing their existence itself. And that is what these Amorites did to the people of Israel. God did not forget that. God doesn't forget what happened to your parental generation. Hallelujah. Your parental generation, what they had to go through, God doesn't forget. God doesn't forget how much they had to struggle for the right of way, to go for the kingdom purposes, for the gospel. God doesn't forget. God doesn't forget how your parents had to go through struggles, probably in sickness, probably without any food. God doesn't forget. You know, my father occasionally tells this testimony that when he had to step out in faith and take the water baptism, when he came back home after taking the water baptism, his father became agitated and he had to run away that night from his house. His siblings said, it is safer for you to run away. And he went and slept at his cousin's doorstep. That's how he slept that night. After some days, after the situation became peaceful, he returned back to his father's family house. Now, he says this, you know, when his sons are getting baptized, they did not have to run away. They, after getting baptism, they walked into their own house. You know, one generation had to go through struggles. You know, some of you are sitting here so easily, so comfortably, because your parental generation, your parents or your grandparents went through the struggle. They bore the brunt for the sake of the gospel. For this faith that you call as yours, they went through the struggle. And that is why some of us are standing here and sitting here so comfortably. They paid a price. Now, God doesn't forget what the people of Israel had to go through. They were denied the passage, they were denied the way, denied food, and denied even their right to existence. But in the midst of that, they still fought. You know, there are one thing that we need to learn. There are certain battles that you need to fight. Fight against the powers of darkness that denies your way, denies your food, denies your life. But then, do not fight against each other. Do not fight against each other. When Moses had to encounter this, he are encouraging the people of Israel to fight. But then when the questions came against Moses and Aaron, he's not going out and fighting them. What do? They go to God in prayer. Amen. So when the fight comes from within the body of Christ, you go and pray. That is your response. But when fight comes from the powers of darkness, you go and fight, because that is what God have called us, you and I, to be. When God brought the people of Israel out of Egypt, he brought them according to their host. Excuse me. God brought them according to their host. According to the host, according to their armies. How did God bring out these people who were in slavery for 200 plus years? God is bringing them out as an army, as a group of people who is ready to fight. And that is how God sees us, not as slave people, but as free men who are employed to fight. And this fight was picked up by Moses against those powers of darkness. In the very same place, generations later, God is doing something incredible. Jesus is multiplying 5 loaves and 2 fish and feeding 5,000 men, 25,000 plus people in total. Where one generation had to struggle, another generation is reaping the blessing and the benefit. My dear brothers and sisters, young people, this is a promise. If your parental generation had to go through a struggle, God is faithful to make things easier for you, bring about a blessing that you never even thought about. Hallelujah. In the very same place, God is able to bring changes, radical changes, beyond even your comprehension. Now, here, we know that there are, you know, 5,000 men, which translates to 25,000 people or probably more. Now, Andrew is bringing a young lad. Andrew did not take the food from the lad and bring it to Jesus. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, we see that Andrew is saying, here is a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Credit to Tanika Larano. Namalani and the Medichon Asian radical children. But Andrew is not doing that. Andrew is bringing the young lad with him and saying, here is a young boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he brought this lad. Andrew had good smell, you know. He had a good sense of smell. He had good nostrils. Itrayum 25,000 people digging at the mean podi torandampol, mean and a manam pidikan midikanairu. Baki arku itra manam kittilla. Manam pidikan kadivullavarum sabakkathu venam. Amen. But he is bringing this lad to Jesus. And he is saying, this is an insignificant number of loaves. Insignificant number. Sometimes we look at what we have and say, insignificant. This is all I have. Insignificant. Vastavathil insignificant aanu. Aarude kayil? Andreyosinte kayil. Andreyosinte kayil irunal ee anjappam kondu onnu nadakkilla. Anjappam pullikku polum thegayathilla.
ഈ അഞ്ചപ്പം ബാലകന് കഴിക്കാൻ കൊടുത്തു വിട്ട അന്ത്രയോസ് അതി കൂടുതൽ കഴിക്കും. അഞ്ചിന് പകരം പത്തായിരിക്കും കഴിക്കുന്നത്. അപ്പോൾ അഞ്ചപ്പം അന്ത്രയോസിന് പോലും തികയത്തില്ല. അന്ത്രയോസ് നോക്കിയിട്ട് പറയാ, ഇൻസിഗ്നിഫിക്കൻറ്റ് നമ്പർ. വളരെ സത്യമാണ്. ഹി ഡിഡ് നോട്ട് ടെൽ എ ലൈ, ഹി വാസ് ടെല്ലിംഗ് ദ ഫാക്ട്. That is the fact. It's an insignificant number. What you and I have is insignificant. In our own eyes, based on our ability, it is insignificant. But then when you entrust that into the hands of Jesus, it begins to take a change, take a transformation that you and I can never even imagine. Because God is a God of creation. He was doing a creative miracle. When he broke the bread, bread began to increase. You know, those disciples were so fortunate, right? They are seeing, witnessing creation right in front of their eyes. Jesus is breaking the bread. Bread is increasing in the hands of Jesus, and that is being transferred into the baskets, and that is being passed out to the people. They witness creative miracles. See, when we give our limited resources, when we give our limited time, when we give our limited money, God is faithful to bring about the increase. My dear brothers and sisters, I came to US as a student, and one of the first jobs that I got there was to operate the parking lot. And parking lot operator, that was one of the earliest jobs that I got as a student. I was working operating the parking lot. So I will sit in the booth, and then you need to collect the money, and then you need to, you know, lift the gate, and that's how, you know, the initial job was that. You know, after working in Technopark for 1.5 years, sitting in front of the laptop, you're coming here and operating the parking lot. That was a very humbling experience, my dear brother Sunil. So I'm doing this, and the first paycheck is $240, okay? That was the first paycheck. After the tax is all paid, and I get something like 210 or something like that, and I take the $20 bill, tithe, the shamsham, I took it to my pastor. Pastor looked at it, $20. First time seeing somebody bringing $20 as tithe, the shamsham kudukwa, etraya, $20. Sadharana ellarum $100, $200, right? And here somebody is giving $20. But I am thankful to that man of God, that pastor, Pastor Abraham. He took that and he prayed. And let me tell you this, my dear brothers and sisters, even though it was a humble beginning, a little beginning, God is faithful enough. God is so gracious and kind that I can give multiples of 20 today as tithe for the cause of God's kingdom. See, when you give that limited amount, that's all I had. I didn't have anything more to give. That was all I had. When I gave that limited amount, God is able to increase. You might be looking at probably money, probably health, probably your time, probably any of the resources, probably your ability. You don't have that ability to probably communicate well or write well or articulate well. You do not know how to present something to people. But irrespective of what your lacks of ability be, you nevertheless give whatever you have in your hands, and God is able to increase that, multiply beyond whatever you can ask or even imagine. So the first thing that we can learn from this passage is that God, even in the wilderness, when it is visited by the perfect one, there will be a divine impact. A creative miracle, a transformative miracle is taking place. Secondly, the lesson that we can learn is, I believe my time is almost done, so we will conclude with this. The second principle is that we should be moved by what moves Jesus. We should be moved by what moves Jesus. Jesus had compassion on these people who were with him for 3 days, listening to what he spoke. And Jesus is moved by compassion towards them. See, compassion is different from sympathy. Sympathy is, you know, you feel sympathy for a person who is going through a trouble and say, okay, God will make everything well. All of those nice words, Christianese words, you know, like Chinese, Christianese, we speak those Christian words to them and say, Allah, okay, oh. But compassion is beyond that. Compassion is an internal pull. There is a pull from the inside that you need to go and do something for that person. That is compassion. Yeshu manasalinju. Yeshu manasalinju anjappam kondu 5000 pere boshipichu. Yeshu manasalinju rogikale saukhyamaki. Yeshu manasalinju aare kandappol idayillatha aadukale chinni chidiriyavai kandappol Yeshu manasalinju. That is the heart of Jesus. Compassionate heart of Jesus, which prompts Jesus to action. What should we have? A compassionate heart. We need to have a compassionate heart. When you see somebody going through trouble, have that heart of Jesus, compassion. That will propel you to take the next step, propel you to probably give some money,
go help out. Now, I'm thankful to God. As I was coming here, I was telling my brothers who drove me here, I'm thankful to God for those uncles who drove me from my university to the church. I'm so thankful. You know, when I think about their sacrifice, they were sacrificing gas, the time, you know, gas and orambi would have petrol. ഇതെല്ല സാക്രിഫൈസ് ചെയ്തിട്ടാണ് അവരെന്നെ വന്ന് പിക്ക് ചെയ്തത്. ദൈവം അവരെ റിവാർഡ് ചെയ്യട്ടെ, എനിക്കൊരിക്കലും തിരിച്ചു കൊടുക്കുവാൻ എൻ്റെ കയ്യിലൊന്നുമില്ല. ബട്ട് ദെൻ ലെറ്റ് ഗാഡ് റിവാർഡ് ദം ഫോർ വാട്ട് ദേ ഡിഡ്. സി, ഔട്ട് ഓഫ് കമ്പാഷൻ ദേ ഡിഡ് സംതിങ് ഔട്ട് ഓഫ് ദർ വേ. ലെറ്റ് അസ് ഓൾസോ ബി മൂവ്ഡ് ബൈ കമ്പാഷൻ, മൂവ് ബൈ കമ്പാഷൻ ടു ഡൂ സംതിങ് ദാറ്റ് വിൽ ഇമ്പാക്ട് ഇൻഫ്ലുവൻസ് സംബഡി എൽസസ് ലൈഫ്. തേർഡ് പ്രിൻസിപ്പിൾ, ആൻഡ് വി വിൽ കൺക്ലൂഡ് വിത്ത് ദാറ്റ്. തേർഡ് ഇസ് ദാറ്റ് ഹ്യൂമൻ കാൽക്കുലേഷൻ is used to declare the glory of God. We have read about creation declares the glory of God, but here I would also like to, you know, put something else in perspective. Human calculation declares the glory of God. Philip is coming and telling that, hey, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them to be satisfied. 200 denarii ku food medichalum thagathilla. 1 denarius is daily wage laborers per day wage is 1 denarius. 200 denarii, put it like you know, 6 months wage, or more than that, probably 1 year wage is 200 denarii, or probably 5 years worth of savings is 200 denarii. 5 years worth of savings or a per year wage is 200 denarii. Even if you have that much of money, it's not going to satisfy. Why did God have to put that also in the gospel? Why did God have to put the number in the gospel? It is giving an image of what was the miracle that Jesus did. It was beyond what 5 years worth of savings could accomplish. It was beyond what 1 year worth of money, salary could accomplish. What God can accomplish, you and I cannot even fathom, cannot even imagine. What 5 years worth of savings could not do, Jesus did it in a matter of few hours. Hallelujah. So God is able to do incredibly, abundantly, immeasurably above everything that we can ask or even think about. That's what we read in Ephesians chapter 3. He is able to do incredibly, immeasurably, abundantly more than what we can even ask or think about, if fully we would give our lives into the hands of Jesus. Hallelujah. This day morning, as we commemorate Jesus, as we think about Jesus Christ, let it be our desire that we will give ourselves completely, wholly into the hands of God. Before I conclude, let me tell you this. My dear brothers and sisters, we have a table here. The table which tells us about the sacrifice of Jesus. See, repentance is crucial. Repentance is one of the cardinal principles of our Christian faith, because without repentance we can never approach God. In the Old Testamental system of laws, in Leviticus chapter 4 and chapter 5, we read about the sin offering, the trespass offering. Sin offering, trespass offering, Pava Yagam, Agurthi Yagam. Avade, what happens is, the one who committed the sin is going to place their hand upon the animal without blemish, and then he is going to kill the animal. Who? The one who brought the animal and placed the hand on the animal is going to kill the animal. Levyanalla kollunnathu, paapiyanu kollunnathu. Can you imagine a goat? You coming to church with the goat and at the entrance killing the goat? Can you think about it for a moment? Nammal koliya kollan pedikunnavara, pinnele aadinte kaaryam. ആടിനെ കഴുത്തറുത്ത് കൊല്ലുമ്പോൾ, ഹി നോസ് വൺ തിങ് ദിസ് ആനിമൽ ഇസ് ഡൈയിങ് ഇൻ മൈ പ്ലേസ്. ഐ വാസ് സപ്പോസ് ടു ബി കിൽഡ് ബട്ട് ഹി ഈസ് ഡൈയിങ്. ദൻ ആനിമൽ ഇസ് ഡൈയിങ് ഇൻ മൈ പ്ലേസ്. വെൻ വി അപ്രോച്ച് ദ ത്രോൺ ഓഫ് ഗാഡ്, ലെറ്റ് അസ് ഓൾവേസ് ബി റിമൈൻഡഡ് ദറ്റ് ഐ ക്യാൻ ഓൺലി അപ്രോച്ച് ഗാഡ് ബിക്കോസ് there has been a perfect lamb that has been slain on the cross of Calvary. It was not the Romans or the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the chief priests. They were all there. But then who killed Jesus? The answer is me. I am the reason. I am the cause. My sin is the reason. So that I can be set free from my sin, Jesus died for me on the cross of Calvary. My dear brothers and sisters, mighty works have been done with one intent, repentance, knowing what Jesus did acknowledging my pathetic condition and accepting what Jesus did, that is repentance. Life will be changed. Heaven will be glorified. Jesus will receive the honor. Let us have that heart as we approach God continually, even this day. I want to thank the pastor for giving me this opportunity. Thank you, dear brother Jones and Divya. They hosted me the last two nights. And so good to be with my brother here in the city. Good to see you all. Good to be with Sundar after so many years. Thank you, church. God bless you all.